Hey, and when the kids are gone, feel free to move closer together too, you know. Hey, here's an opportunity. All right. Lord, we thank you for kids, and we thank you that we have the right to be called the children of God, that we are kids in your eyes. May we have the faith of a child, Lord, and follow you. Amen. Alrighty, the sermon series Setting the Stage. Last week was Zechariah. The angel Gabriel came to him and told him that his wife would conceive in her old age. Sure enough, it happened. So that piece was set in place. John the Baptist would be conceived. He has to be just a little bit older than Jesus here. All the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. John the Baptist would have the spirit of Elijah, which had to precede the Savior. And today we get to see how Mary and Elizabeth are put into place. It's sort of like a chess game. All the pieces have to be put into place, and then it's ready to boom, to hit it, to finish it. And that's what's happening here. God's setting the stage. He's setting the scene so that all the prophecies will be fulfilled, because they have to be. If God said something is going to happen, it is going to happen. So today we find Mary, probably a teenage girl. Girls in that age were of an age where they could conceive. Their body had gone through the changes there. They were considered to be eligible for marriage. And very soon after, their families would arrange a marriage. There would be a year-long engagement, if you will, where there are fiancés. And during that time, they get to know each other better. But then after a year was up, then they could celebrate the wedding and come together. So she's in that stage there. She's probably in her mid-teens. And she's looking forward to life with Joseph. He's got a skill. He's got a vocation. He's a carpenter. She's looking forward to someday having kids, you know, having their little house with a white picket fence or, you know, probably a stone wall back then. Who knows what? Okay, but she had this, like any woman would, you know, planned out, just looking forward to this future. All right, things are about to go down a different path, though. And to go down God's path. So his ways are not our ways, right? His ways are higher than our ways. And we just have to follow in faith at times. We have to follow in faith. And that's what Mary has to do here. She has to follow in faith. So as Elizabeth is about 6 months along now, Gabriel had gone to see Zechariah right before that. Now Gabriel's on another mission, this angel. Again, one of only two angels that are named in the Bible, Gabriel and Michael. There are, of course, myriads, thousands and tens of thousands of other angels out there. But Gabriel's the one that's been chosen for this mission, to be a messenger once again, to come down to earth and to speak to humans. So God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in a town of Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. Alrighty. It had been foretold that the Savior had come from Nazareth. That had to happen. It had been prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. That had to happen. And that would be right before John the Baptist. Again, all these pieces are just lining up. Furthermore, that he'd be born in Bethlehem. So God had to select a virgin from Nazareth who was headed to Bethlehem. I mean, this had to fulfill all the prophecies, check all the boxes. Nazareth's not a big town. It's rather small. I suppose there are a number of virgins there at that time. How many of them were going to be headed to Bethlehem? How many of them were ready to get pregnant right before John the Baptist was born? Okay, we narrowed it down, and Mary's the one. She has been selected. She didn't volunteer for this position. Okay, it was God selected her. And we'll find that at times in our lives too, where we didn't ask for this, we didn't volunteer for this, but God's going to give us a mission to carry out too. Maybe to talk to someone, maybe to help someone. Maybe to give a word to someone. We don't even realize he's working or speaking through us. But he's going to use us if we make ourselves available. He's going to use us for various missions. So this Mary, who knows, you know, if it's night or day or what's happening, if she's probably helping around the house or whatever she's doing, this angel appears to her. And again, we don't know in what shape or form the angel appeared. That's not written here. They can appear as humans. They are spirit beings, of course. But there's something different about an angel when they appear. If they want to make themselves known, and Gabriel does, he says, "I am Gabriel. sent from God. Yeah, there's no doubt about it here. So the angels appeared to her and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Highly favored? I'm just a normal teenage girl. And where's this angel coming from? Mary had to have been a little taken aback here. Gabriel's got her full attention. I mean, yeah, and same thing with Zechariah, right? He was alone in the temple, and this angel appeared on the right-hand side of the altar. He had his full attention. Okay. So this angel speaks to Mary. Mary, of course, is a little taken aback, greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. It's not normal, right? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." These are words that she would probably have to rely on throughout her life, especially through the next 9 months. But then later on, too, as she sees her son start to perform miracles, do amazing teachings, but then she is also there. She's there at his birth, but she is also there at his death, watching her son being tortured and hung on a cross and humiliated and dying in front of everybody. Wow. She really had to depend on God. Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. The Lord is our salvation. That's what that translates to. God, our salvation. He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High. She's just a normal girl from a small town. And she's hearing the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he'll reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. She's going to give birth to a king? Kings have to come from royalty. Not from some little backwoods town in the middle of nowhere called Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, as other people would say. But God's ways are not our ways. He had a plan. And he needed people to accomplish it. And Mary is one of them. Of course, she is trying to take all this in and has sort of a human response. How will this be since I'm a virgin? Well, yeah, good question, right? But the angel said the Holy Spirit's going to take care of that. It's going to come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And as a result, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. In the Nicene Creed, we confess Jesus as true man and true God. True man, he's born of Mary, a human. And true God, he's fathered by the Holy Spirit. So he fulfills both, and he'll go out through his life being this wonderful combination of human and God. Today, of course, fully God, but able to relate to us humans because he's walked it. He's been tempted. He's experienced what we experience. He knows us. And knows what we're going through. Wow. So the reassurance the angel's giving her that, hey, this is okay, and reveals to her that even Elizabeth, Zechariah's wife, in her old age is going to have a child. And Mary accepts. Could she have said no? I wonder. No, God had picked her. It was probably your mission, if you should choose to accept it. You know, you hear the Mission Impossible tape recorder going there. No, she was told, this is what's going to happen, this is what you're going to do. And God knew her heart, and knew that she would accept. And she does. She says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. All right. Well, what did she face? She's single, engaged, but now she's going to become pregnant. And who's going to believe a story like this? You can imagine her going home to tell her parents, I'm pregnant. Yeah, that'd be tough. And they're immediately going to think of Joseph. No, it wasn't him. Okay, who was it? The Holy Spirit. Okay. As a parent, I trust in God. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that was the truth. And how is Joseph going to take this? Well, next week we're going to focus on that. So we'll find out. But yeah, the people of the village are going to look at her. This is a small town. It's going to be very obvious soon. She goes to see Elizabeth, and I was thinking, well, this is one of those deals where, okay, she's starting to show maybe, so she's going to go there, give birth, you know, far away somewhere, and then eventually come back or something. No, she was only with Elizabeth 3 months. She's just barely pregnant here. So when she does come back, she's just starting to show. Elizabeth, on the other hand, is 6 months. That video had a little bit wrong. Okay, there it showed Mary is about ready to give birth. Okay, not the case yet. But an excellent video, and I'm glad we watched it. It just brings it to life in a different way. It does. I love it. So Mary then goes to visit Elizabeth. They're relatives. Elizabeth is 6 months along now with John the Baptist inside of her, and living in the hill country of Judea. Okay, so she goes there to visit her. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's so cool that John the Baptist in there was excited, you know. Hey, there's Jesus. Okay. And John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit since before birth, right? So it's like the Holy Spirit and Jesus seeing each other, going, hey, get to see you here on earth, you know. They're making this connection and they're jumping for joy. And that's one of the coolest things is to feel that baby move. You know, I remember when the three boys, when Jill was pregnant, each time I could put my hand on her belly and feel it move. And just, that is so special. That is so cool. But this baby leaps in the womb. And Elizabeth now is filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, amazing things can happen. The gifts of the Spirit can be revealed. Your whole life changes, of course, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But here the Spirit allows her to prophesy. Filled with the Holy Spirit, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Did she even know at this point that Mary is pregnant? Alrighty. Possibly, maybe not. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit revealing it to her. But what comes next? Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord, that you're pregnant with my Lord, you're pregnant with Jesus, should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So here she is saying that Mary will give birth to the Lord, to Jesus. Again, she is filled with the Holy Spirit and was able to prophesy at that point. Wow. All right, Mary's response then, she comes up with the song, the Magnificat. We don't know if she sang it, or she just improvised, or whatever, but it's recorded here. Her response, she glorifies God and tells of what he has done. Starting out, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant. She's taken on that role of humility there, going along with what God wants her to do. And then starts to say the attributes of God here. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. That God has performed mighty deeds with his arm, scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Our God is merciful. He is gracious. He is loving. He is all these things and more. He is powerful. So Mary's glorifying God in this song of praise. And this is a high for her. But she's about to face reality. She's going to leave Elizabeth's home after 3 months, head back home, and face people. Again, to face the rumors, to face the shame, to face the stigma. Back then, Joseph could call off the engagement. She'd be on her own. No one's really going to want to marry someone that's, you know, pregnant, out of wedlock, to take that on. She'd have to find somehow a way to survive. And things would not be good. But Joseph was faithful. He's going to hear from an angel too. Again, we're going to find that out next week. Don't want to give too much away yet. But God is setting these pieces into place. But what is it like for Mary then, going back to that? You know, her boyfriend, she's not sure at this point what he's going to say. how is she going to do this? Her parents, you know, has she already faced them perhaps? This has been 3 months now she's been gone from there, but maybe she hasn't told them yet either. We don't know. She had to have a lot of trouble in her heart. She had to have some serious doubt. She had to have fear. Fear, yes. Of what's going to happen to her? What could happen to her? But she follows in faith. She follows in faith. She's obedient, as a lot of people describe her as obedient, and that's not a bad way to think of it. The psalm today maybe reflects some of her thoughts. This is a psalm of David written, you know, long before this, but the theme and the thoughts here maybe are reflecting what Mary's going through as well. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. She had to trust in God. It's all she could do, right? She had heard from God through an angel, of course. And she could recall that I have heard from God. I am going to follow, but other people are not going to realize it. They're going to look down on me. Verse 2, I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame. Shame is, you know, not easy. And in this time and culture, it's definitely not easy for her. Do not let my enemies triumph over me. Well, who is her enemy? Well, of course, we got Satan, the enemy. What would he do to stop the birth of the Savior? Anything? If he knew what was happening with Mary, he'd be pulling out all the stops. Later on, when Jesus is born, he works through Herod to kill all the boys two and under in that region to try to stop the Savior. He's going to do anything he can, and still will. He's going to try to stop that second coming, but yeah, good luck, it's not going to happen. And even he would have to realize that, I suppose, unless he just wants to ignore Scripture. And maybe he does. Don't know. But don't let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. Again, that shame word, but the opposite of this is that hope, that no one who hopes in you, has their hope in God, will be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Mary is humble. She's wanting to cooperate with God. Again, she didn't volunteer for this position, but she accepted it. And is moving on, following in faith, trusting in God that it's all going to work out. And it will. Show me your ways, Lord, and teach me your paths. She's willing to be led. She's, again, obedient. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. This willingness that she has to follow in faith. Even when things don't make sense. Even when it seems impossible. We are to also follow in faith. Many examples of that in the Bible, and many examples throughout your lives as well. Trust in the Lord your God, right? And follow him in faith. It may not always make sense to us, but his ways are different. They're not human ways. They're much higher. He sees that big picture from where he is. Finally, a little bit from Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says. At that, our ears ought to perk up. You know, someone said something. Okay, but when the Lord says something, yeah. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Here he's talking to Israel, but, you know, think of it also to Mary. She was called by name by Gabriel. There's no mistake, right? This angel calls her by name. You know, okay, you know who I am too. Yeah, yeah. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. We all pass through rivers in our life. We all walk through fires in our life. We all have those times where it's not easy. And sometimes it may seem like it's not possible. But we have a God who is faithful. And if we will just turn to him, he, the faithful one, will be with us. And he will make a way. He is a way maker. looking back over each of our lives, I suppose you can look back and see times where something didn't seem possible. But nothing is impossible with our God. And there are times where maybe you felt all alone, but He was there with you. We'll just acknowledge His presence and turn to Him. He says, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange to you, nations in exchange to your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Words for Israel, words for Mary, and words for us. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Amen.